Right. Well, tonight's, I'm reading in chapter 1 of Mark's Gospel, beginning at verse 21 and reading through to verse 28. And as you listen, maybe you can try and identify the less familiar saying of Jesus. Here's Mark 1, verse 21. And they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and began to teach. And they were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. And just then there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "What do we have to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet, and come out of him." And throwing him into convulsions, the unclean spirit cried out with a loud voice and came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they debated among themselves, saying, "Who is this, and what is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And immediately the news about him went out everywhere into all the surrounding district of Galilee. Well, I start tonight by giving you a treat, if I can get it up here. Can you see that? Is that showing up on your screens? Say it, nod or whatever.
Yes, we can see it.
Looks like Israel.
Does anybody know what it is?
Show it again.
Miss Debbie?
Well, Debbie's in it. Yeah, Debbie's in it. She's,
it's in Israel, right?
It's in Israel. And that's the synagogue that we read about tonight. That's the synagogue in Capernaum. You didn't know Debbie was that old, did you?
Thank you.
In trouble now.
I think she looks really good.
121. 121 is your...
Especially considering her age.
All right. I thought you'd like to see that. We don't often. Debbie just reminded me of something she pilfered from that site. So we won't hold that against her. But it's not often that Christians in America get to lay eyes on a place where Jesus actually stood and did something. And he did a wonderful thing here. He was teaching, and Mark's gospel, the key to understanding the gospel of Mark is that it's not so much about saying things as it is doing things. It's not so much about the word of God as the works of God. Not that the works make the word irrelevant, but we're saved not by the word of God. We're saved by the works of God. And Mark, this is the strong theme throughout his gospel. Jesus is not only teaching, but he's teaching as one having authority. Now, how far does that authority extend? Do you think if Jesus showed up on the steps or tried to penetrate the perimeter now around our capital in Washington, that everybody would acknowledge him and get out of the way? Well, if you take what John's experience was in the book of Revelation, when he saw Jesus, he fell down as a dead man. And if Jesus, the vision of the resurrected Christ, glorified Christ, had that effect on one of his own disciples, you could imagine everybody would be down on their faces. If Jesus chose to vanquish a riot, he could do it just by showing up, because he had authority. He had power. Authority is not just power. Despots can wield power. Criminals can wield power. But authority is power that can back up. Can we blame them for not casting out demons? Well, no, none of us have that authority, none. Only Jesus can do that. The demons won't listen to us. If you try and address them, it'll be like it was in the book of Acts when somebody tried to address demons. And they said, well, Paul, we know. Jesus, we know, but we don't know you. And they possess this person. So Jesus had authority. What kind of authority was it? What did it look like? How did they know it had authority? Well, it had authority because what Jesus was teaching was changing their lives. And this is an example of it here in the passage. The people were acknowledging Jesus' authority, and just then a fellow spoke up. He looked like an ordinary person. Maybe he acted a little strange and some people suspected it. But here he just breaks out with this question. What do we have to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Now, having said that, and it's coming out of the lips of a man, and for all that the congregation there and that cat and that synagogue that we all just laid eyes on, as far as they knew, he was a man who was a little bit troubled and resisting the teaching. But he seems to come around when he says, I know who you are, the Holy One of God. And you would think Jesus would say, you're right, I am. And go on from there to explain and teach and preach the gospel. But Jesus doesn't do that. And this is the surprising thing about what he does and the unfamiliar words that he speaks. Jesus rebuked the man. And he said, be quiet and come out of him. Two things, two commandments there that either will show that Jesus is a fake. He's saying, be quiet. If the man kept jabbering away, that would show that Jesus had no authority and the man could effectively resist that authority and come out of him. What does that mean? Initially, the hearers there may not have even known what it meant. But Jesus knew the source of these words, that they were demonic, and he had authority even over the principalities and powers that affect our lives, and that the Word of God tells us is where our wrestling match really is. It's not against flesh and blood. It's not against pestering neighbors or disagreeable brethren in the church or upheavals in our nation. It's deeper than that. And the nations can't touch this realm. What nuclear weapon can hit the demons effectively? What armies can do that? So Jesus does something that's quite surprising and shocking, and he says, be quiet. Why would he want this particular man to be quiet when he's speaking the truth? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. It's because this is the whole tenor of Mark's gospel. It's not what you say. It's what you do and how you live. It's not your words, it's your works. It's not your description of doctrines and articulation of those doctrines, however accurate and true they might be. It's whether or not you have the fruit of the Spirit, which is love and joy and peace, and kindness and gentleness and so forth. That's the authority Jesus wields. He changes people's lives. And so here it is. Be quiet and come out of him. Jesus would not have a man to make a profession, however true and right it is, without the possession of the character and the changed life and the grateful and loving heart that accompanied a new character that he had because of God's grace. Therefore, he tells him to be quiet. What the man seemed to be saying as at least part of the gospel and a leading to the gospel, you're the Holy One of God. What good does a holy God do? That's not good news. That's bad news. Not just for the demons, but for you and me. Because it means that we are under the sword of destruction. Because we're not holy. We lack it. We're sinners in the sight of God. This is a half gospel, and a half gospel doesn't save. Jesus tells him, shut up. He won't have these words. But he will show his authority and produce a work to change that man and liberate him from the motivating demon. And so he speaks to him. He commands the unclean spirits, plural, more than one. This isn't the legion, but this is one like him. And they obeyed him, period. The demons don't argue. They don't debate. They don't quibble. They don't curse. They obey. That's what authority is. That's what God's authority is. And that's why when we read in the gospel, in Romans chapter 6, when Paul says, sin shall no longer have mastery over you, because Jesus is using that authority in our lives to vanquish the dominion of sin over us and to give us desire and empowerment to resist temptation, to stand for what's right, to declare the truth, to love our God, to love our brethren, to love even our enemies in this world. None of the nations even come close to possessing that kind of authority to make those kind of changes. But here it is, and what can just be passed over as well, Jesus, the commentators largely agree that this man, demon-possessed man, is just not a fit, clean instrument to declare the gospel. And to some extent, that's true, but that's a very superficial analysis of the situation. Why is his being unclean disqualifying to him? Is it that God just can't stand to have this man making these declarations? God himself? God himself knows what every thought and intention of every demon is. He's not squeamish. His authority is not fragility that makes him squeamish and he can't stomach it. But see, that's the second part of this amazing statement. He's not only saying, come out of him, and the demon's possessed, but Jesus, we're told, said, come out of him. Jesus was concerned with that man. And he can make a distinction between the man and the possessing demons. Only he had that kind of discernment. And only he had power to send those demons out without killing the man, but saving the man instead. No wonder then, immediately the news about him went out everywhere into all the surrounding district of Galilee. And you know what? That was even before the internet and Twitter. Jesus didn't need Twitter. Amen.